This is File 7, Cycle 2. Today's date is November 8th, 2017. I am interviewing Father Joseph Kurnath of St. Mary's Catholic Church. He's going to talk about his career and anything else he wants to talk about, including opera. Here we go with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Joseph Gerard Michael Kurnath. Gerard was my middle name given to me at baptism. Michael was my confirmation name, which I chose.
And you're a junior, correct?
I am a junior. Well, no, because my father was Joseph Thomas, so I'm not a junior.
You're not a junior.
No.
When were you born?
May 21st, 1954.
And where were you born?
I was born in Waterbury, Connecticut, at Waterbury General Hospital.
And what is your father's name?
Joseph Thomas Kurnath.
And your mother's name?
Agnes Elizabeth Janicek Kurnath.
And would you spell it Janicek?
J-A-N-O-S-I-K.
And you are a special child, you're an only.
I am. The same as someone who's sitting very close to me right now.
we are special children.
We are.
What kind of a background did you come from? You were talking about your mother a bit.
Let me go back to my grandparents.
Perfect.
Both of them were from Austria-Hungary, which was then Slovakia, which is now. My grandmother came from Kurima, K-U-R-I-M-A, and my grandfather came from Slovinki, S-L-O-V-I-N-K-Y, both in Spish, S-P-I-S, and there's chapkas over the S and the S, little V's, we call them chapkas,
okay,
to make them sh instead of s. And Shadish, S-A-R-I-S, and also two chapkas.
I can't do that on the computer, but...
Okay. And both of those are in northeastern Slovakia. And they met by yodeling.
Wonderful!
They yodeled across the mountains in Slovak, and that's how they first met.
What a wonderful story.
Yep.
Oh, my.
And my grandfather moved here and then went back and then came back again with my grandma.
And when did he actually move here with your grandmother?
I don't want to guess because I don't want to give the wrong. I do not know that.
Okay.
But if my mother was born in 1921, then it had to be still when Austria-Hungary was Austria-Hungary. So somewhere between 1900 and 1920. I'm actually doing, one of those tests to find out.
Oh, one of the DNA tests. Oh, good.
And so that will bring them into the picture. So I may add to this at some point in the future if I could.
Of course.
Find some stuff out.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful.
Let's see. Mom had Aunt Lal, Aunt Mary, so she had two sisters. And two brothers, Uncle George and Uncle John. Uncle John left suddenly, and no one ever saw him again because there were really differences between him and my grandfather. Was, how should I say this, a European father. He was not very easy to get along with, and his word was the absolute law. I remember once my mother told me, and my mother, by the way, who was the peacemaker of the family, so this especially got to her, and because of her upbringing, she was so good at doing this for the rest of her life, and that's where I get a lot of that myself.
It comes naturally.
It really does, and if you really listen to your parents and get the best out of them that you can, you're good to go. You're good forever. And I'm lucky that there weren't any major problems. But he was tough. Mm-hmm. He was tough. And they were once sitting at a dinner table, which, of course, at that point was de rigueur. I mean, everybody did it.
Oh, yes.
Today, they look at you like you have four eyes. What do you mean, eat together? and there were, there's a family of at least seven or eight, and then if neighbors came and rested. rest of the family. We had a big, big, big family. Slovaks usually have yep. large families.
Yep.
And she was sitting there, and her aunt, his sister, had just died. And he said, well, how about spiritual bouquets? And Mom says, well, that will be probably $5, or at that point, $2 for a mass. And he says, no, niet, Agnesa, spiritual bouquet, that's kvitke, flowers. She says, with all due respect, Dad, no, spiritual bouquet means masses. So he picked up the spoon, threw it at her, and missed her eye by about an inch.
Oh, I'm glad he missed.
Yes. So this is the kind of stuff that went on all the time. That's why my Uncle John left. I never met him. Okay. Total mystery man. I must say, good-looking guy, though, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But never met him. A strapping guy, and I don't know whatever happened to him. Okay. He could have been beside me at some point. You know, God has a way of doing that. And you don't even know.
Right.
But, yeah, Mom was the peacemaker, and that's where I learned all of that, because my aunt Lal was quite an interesting individual. She married a guy who was into railroads, and so they were comfortable. They lived in Jersey, in Roselle, New Jersey, and I used to visit them, and it was like a different life, because as an only child, it really is different.
Very
than
different.
Anything else.
Yeah. Where did you get your seminary training?
St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore, Maryland.
And did you always want to be a priest?
Yes, I used to have mass for my grandma in Slovak and English. At that point, I could speak it. Unfortunately, I've lost a lot of it.
If you're not using it, you lose it.
That's right. Yep. That's right. And she used to come down the hallway. And in our tradition, having a grandparent is a wonderful thing. It's like next to God, mm-hmm. like the Asians.
Oh, yes.
The same thing.
Yes.
And she used to come down for Omsha, Svate Omsha, Holy Mass. And I used to have a bulletin. I used to preach, and I had a whole altar set up. So I did that for years. When she died, that was very tough for me.
Oh, sure.
And I left the religion. I don't know if I ever left God, but I left the religion for a while because I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kept on, and if I was ordained in 91, I went in 1984 into St. Mary's in Baltimore. I was ordained in 1991. It was a 6-year program because I had not had enough college credits. I went to the Hartford Conservatory of Music, but that didn't count.
So, it counted, but they wouldn't take the credits.
Well, that.
Yes.
Then
yes.
There's that. Yeah, it counted in my life. It didn't count
yes.
for a priest.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I got through the 6 years, and then was ordained in September 6th, 1991. My first assignment was at St. Mary's in Newington as what we call parochial vicar. In the old days was assistant pastor. The terms have changed, but nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for 6 years, and then I went what I would call discovery time, and I didn't have one parish. I helped out in over 22 parishes as needed. Also St. Mary's Hospital in Waterbury, ironically. I was chaplain there for about 6 months and got a lot of experience and met a lot of different people. And heard a lot of good and bad things about what was happening, because since I wasn't the pastor, they could tell me. They felt very
yes.
comfortable. Yes.
It's nice to talk to a stranger.
Yes.
Very definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Very definitely. Unless you have a tape recorder going at the time. When did you come to our St. Mary's?
So, let's see. 2005, I came. And the way we work it in canon law, the first I was temporary administrator. The beginning of the second month, I was made administrator for a year, and then a year later, I was named pastor. And it's usually 6 years plus one term, so 12 years as pastor. So I just completed my pastorate, and that's when all the changes the Archdiocese now are going on.
And they're merging, consolidating, doing all sorts of, closing churches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you came here, what was your goal for the church? What did you want to do to improve or change the church?
First of all, to listen and do nothing else but listen. I mean, obviously, to do the masses. What I'm not saying is I was on strike when
No.
But, listen. And I did that for 6 months at least. And there was a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of heartache, a lot of sadness. And based upon that, then, I thought, well, what I should do is try to be a peacemaker, which I tried, keeping all the lessons I learned at home and in the seminary, and also to bring people together. If I could bring people together, and not just Catholics, because I don't view Catholicism as just responsible for our own church. I think any good priest should be bringing in other people, not as to change from their religion, but to be with them, to work with them. To, if you're in a community, especially a smaller one, well, you got to get to know the people in the community and get active in some way.
Yeah.
You don't have to do everything, but you can do the things that you do best,
yes,
which hopefully will be upbuilding for the community. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tried to do. So that was my plan, is to bring people in, listen to people still after that six-month period, be a healing agent if I could at all. And I think listening is healing.
It is. Everybody has to have somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was the size of your congregation, roughly?
When I got here, it was about 350 families. So individuals...
Families is fine.
Yeah.
We'll deal with families.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you did several special programs.
Mm.
And what are they?
Well, one of the things I did was try to bring music in, but I waited at least for 3, 4, or 5 years before I started doing that, because I wanted to make sure that the... And I'm a New Englander, I know my people. Nothing happens overnight. So you got to wait until it's peaceful and calm, and until I didn't hear such scurrilous things about the former pastor and that type of thing. I won't even mention names, but...
Oh, please don't.
When that was done... Then we moved on and I started adding. Then I started reach out. Mm-hmm. So first was listen, second was reach out. And having been an actor and my mother having been an opera singer, my father played the drums, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes. My grandfather played the violin. I know my grandmother sang, so we had a very musical family. Mainly in Slovak, but also in English.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I tried to bring in local musicians. First, we had, for the first few years, and a lot of this, the attendance was great. It was like 120 people per event, and it was during the summer, and we used to do it near the garages on our parish.
Yeah.
And we had picnics. So I had live music with friends of mine that I had met having been up here. You know, like minds end up attracting one another, and
they
find out the person, like, oh, you're into the arts too? Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in and did concerts the first 2 or 3 years, and they were well attended. And I think that part of that was, let's see who the new kid in town was. And I totally understood that. But after a while, the attendance went down every year, and it was a lot of money to bring in a quartet to do live music.
Yes.
So I thought, okay, let's spend this some other time. In a way, I felt, that's interesting, but in a way, I was also settling into the community. So the dust was going.
Yeah.
And so I could see, okay, well, that works, that does it. You've got to try something. You can't say, well, I don't want to do that because this might happen. You've got to do it. Mm-hmm. And then say, okay, how can we do this better? Or chuck it.
Did you use Christine Givert at all?
Not unless she was a fill-in at funeral or a wedding, but I started using her in the last few years. And Crescendo has had concerts there.
Yes.
We had a concert, I don't remember what year it was, but Vanda Landowska's anniversary.
Oh, yes, she was big on that one. Mm-hmm. And I think I attended that one.
Oh, okay. And that was a Saturday, and it was, I believe, before Mass I had it, if I can recall. So we had a 4 o'clock Mass, and the concert started early, which is telling Catholics, like, the second coming, because, you know, once they get into their habits, as most people do when they attend church services, it's tough, but they stayed, and it was well attended, and they did Mendelssohn, and I fell in love with the group.
Good.
And Christine is a phenom.
Oh, yes.
As far as I'm concerned.
We are so fortunate to have her.
Boy. And so we have been coordinating since then. This past year was the first time that this has been done, I think, in this area. We had a joint tenebrae service on Good Friday evening. Tenebrae is Latin for shadows, and some Catholic churches like mine do it because it's an excuse to do good readings and good music. And I was doing it for about 4 or 5 years, but all the while I was keeping my nose out and looking and hearing things, what can we do? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, let's try this year, and it was a resounding success. We must have had almost 100 people at it, which for a Good Friday evening is really
wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful. Now, you do catechism for the children.
Mm-hmm.
When do you have it?
Well, I don't know the schedule right now, but when I had it was Sunday mornings, and it was between 9 and 10, and that was for grades 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Then confirmation class was in the rectory. That was in the church hall. The confirmation class was in the rectory at the same time.
And about how many children total at that time, roughly?
We'll say 50.
Okay.
That number has gone down. This, unfortunately, is not an area that people stay in. And especially after high school, they leave.
They have to find work.
Yes.
They have to find work.
That's right.
What were your ordinary weekly services? When did you hold them?
So, using Sunday as the first day of the week, by the way, I can't stand those calendars now that have Monday as the first day of the week. I want to write them and say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's not Monday through Sunday, okay? Sunday was at 8 and 10:15, and 10:15 was with music. We had a choir. We still have a choir and organ. Wednesday at 10 o'clock at Noble Horizons, and parishioners used to come to that. Thursdays at 9 in the rectory, we had Mass, then coffee and then scripture study until 11. Sometimes it went till 11:30 or 11:45. And it was nice because the rectory was very comfortable, very intimate, very cozy. And after a while, people got to know one another. And I was doing this before I came here full time when it was held in the church hall. Our old church reminded me of Murders in the Rue Morgue. Okay, so
got it.
I'm so happy that we have a brand new church hall, which was quite expensive, but we spared no expense, and it's bright and light and cheerful. That was on Thursday. Friday Mass was at 9 in the rectory again. Saturday the vigil Mass was at 4. I would do baptisms anytime it was convenient for people. So there was no one time for baptisms.
Now, does the clergy rotate in the Catholic Church?
At the pleasure of the ordinary, which is the name for the bishop or the archbishop. And it would be six, as pastor, 6 years plus another 6-year term. But okay. He could change that also.
What do you do for outreach programs from the church?
I would include this as an outreach program. Whenever there was somebody that needed, the old name was Last Rites, now Sacrament of the Sick, at Noble, they would call, and they would call me first, and I would be there. And if I couldn't do it, another priest could do it. I'm just trying to think. I think I would view outreach as our music programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As really our liturgies for Holy Week, which I was very proud of, for people that have never come. Christmas, so liturgy as outreach, that's what I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. We did not have a parish council because the first few meetings, wonderful people had wonderful ideas, and then I said, well, Mrs. Smith, that sounds good to me, and I am not a controlled person. It's like, fine, you take it. Well, unfortunately, I have to be in Brazil on Monday, and this is only St. Mary's. You know, people are here today and in Asia tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
And I said, that's not going to work.
No.
So I disbanded the parish council. And I didn't hear much about it. So I think people pretty much knew. This is an independent area.
Very, very.
And I know that. And that's why I also sense that the outreach has to be specifically tailored to this area. And that was challenging.
It would be.
Yeah. And I found that when I looked around, and I was always active in the ecumenical group and the interfaith group, basically they did the same thing. Whatever they did, they've done for 500 years. And
slow to change.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm a New Englander. Yeah,
okay.
So. But you have to keep that in mind, that if something doesn't work, it's not because it wasn't a good idea. It's mm-hmm. because it didn't work here. So whoever comes here or to any parish should listen to the people and
good
not
point.
Have their own agenda.
Good point.
Yes, yes.
I could wish that some principals had done the same thing. Do you have other things that you'd like to tell me about St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church that I haven't asked you about?
Well, St. Mary's is kind of like this area. At first, it could be cool. And when people say it's a warm and welcoming church, I mean, all that goes to a certain point.
Yeah.
And then it takes a while to gestate and to grow. St. Mary's is filled with wonderful people who are actively on a daily basis trying to get closer to God and doing it in their own way. Mm-hmm. And just because something didn't work in Lakeville that worked in Newington casts no aspersions on Lakeville. Once again, I say every church is different and every parish is different. And in my church, that's something that needs to be addressed.
Thank you so much. I very much appreciate your time and your knowledge.
My pleasure.